Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back in VA. Back in VA, where Virginia is for lovers. Man, as usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in, downloading, streaming, however you listen. I appreciate it, so please tell someone, tell a coworker, enemy, tell your Subway sandwich artist. That's right, your artist, your Subway guy about my podcast. The only reason why I said Subway is because I just went there. Sorry. It is not great. But I wanted to have lunch with my son, and it was the healthiest option. I got to get back on it. But anyway, yes, I appreciate it. Please keep listening. Please tell your friends, family, coworkers. Let them know. Let them know how dope my podcast is, my little 20-minute podcast. All right. Oh, man. I guess I'll start with my milestone for the week, as I usually do. For those who don't know, I have a 7-year-old son. His name is Miles. And I like to talk about the things that he's going through or stuff that he's did or said or just stuff is what's going on. Nothing huge as of recently. As of recent. I think that's better. But he wants glasses. Yeah, that's the new thing. It's every week is something new. This week he wants glasses. I just had lunch with him at a school, and he goes, "That guy has glasses. They have glasses," and I guess glasses are cool now. So he wants glasses. Hopefully he doesn't need glasses, but he might. And then if he does, he'll be happy that he's wearing cool glasses. So, yeah. Man, it's I think I've said this before. It's just when you go to a school and for lunch with your kid, it's just like you think your kid eats weird, and then you'll just see another 7-year-old kid and their entire lunch is just nothing but grapefruits or just weird sandwiches and just a weird combinations of food. We're like, who eats this? But it just lets you know your kid's normal. It'll all, you know, even out as they get older. But at this age, man, they just eat weird shit. So yeah, just give them what they need or what they want for school. It's the easiest. But man, some of the shit you see in there, you go, "God damn, that's odd." You know, you got some kids that just have full-on dinners. Then this is other kids, just assortment of just random items. If that's all you, that's all I can say. Random items, food items, and you go, "I would never even think to eat those two things together." I can't even think of anything right now. It's so odd, you know. But we had a good time. So I got the rundown about who was who and what was what, and he wants glasses, who all the teachers were. So, yeah. Sorry, I'm yawning on my own goddamn podcast. Dude, it's been, let me just say, it's been a crazy, like, 5 days. It seems like I've just been up and barely sleeping for the last 4 or 5 days. Well, let me say this first. To all my brothers out there, how can I say this without alienating people? You know, maybe this is true for all dads, but I just, as a black dad, it's just, brothers, you got to know, man, these kids are watching you, man. They're watching. Because I, you know, I'm having lunch with Miles. We're sitting there talking. And every once in a while, I would just scan the lunchroom and, you know, see all the kids and stuff. And without a doubt, every time I looked up, man, they were like just 2 or 3 black kids just like looking like, "Oh, man, he's with his dad," you know. And I'm not saying that they don't have dads. Maybe they want their dads to come to lunch, or maybe some don't. But it's just like they're watching to see what black dads are doing. These little young black kids are watching this, man. So if you're a black dad, just know these little kids are watching you, man. So It's just good to be out there doing positive things with your kids. So not only do they feel loved, but it's a good thing. I encourage all daddies to go. All dads go to lunch. But, I feel bad, but fuck it. This is my podcast. There was one dad in there. He was there way too early. And by the teardrop tattoo, you can tell he ain't around much. And he was just like, I'm going to win with this. Fuck, he bought McDonald's, you know. And the little girl was super happy to see her. He was super happy. It was very odd, but you can tell, like, that dude, he needed this lunch, man. Like, he was like, it just seemed like the baby mom was like, don't tell her you're going to be there if you're not going to be there because you've done this before. You're going to hurt her feelings. You didn't show up last time, but this motherfucker was there early. He had the McDonald's that is now cold. And you know what? I got to be honest. I'm trying to do this dude a solid. He got there late. He missed it. There was no more lunches. No more lunch. All the kids were leaving. And he brought the McDonald's. And I don't know if, like, somebody had to call, but she ended up coming to the lunchroom. And she gave him the big hug. That's why she seemed so happy. But, oh, man. I just felt for the dude because he had his cold McDonald's. He didn't make it on time. And, but hey, he got to see her. But anyway, it's been a whirlwind. I've been in New York City the last, since Sunday. So like the last 4 days. And I gotta tell you, man, I had a goddamn blast. I had so much fun in New York City. It was a great trip. Man, I feel bad talking about that other dad. I'm not saying I'm a great dad. I'm not saying he's a bad dad, but just based on how he looked in the whole situation, it wasn't good. But all right, sorry. I've just been feeling bad lately for talking shit about that dude. Fun trip, man. Had a great trip. I left here on Sunday. Oh, let me back up a little bit more. I'm sorry. Let me back it up. I can't forget to talk about that. Let me just look at my calendar right quick just to make sure I'm hitting everything. Yes, I am. Local show. All right, so I guess I'll go back to Thursday. Last Thursday, we had a new show in town, Saki Brewery. Great food. My homegirl, Heather Kilburn, put it on. We had a fun time. So if you're in town and you see that pop up, the American Saki Brewery, make sure you go to the show. We had a great time. It's a new venue for shows. It's a new restaurant in town. And we liked it a lot. It's just a great atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. And then last Friday, my buddy hit me up and go, hey, do you want to do this benefit show for like the police academy in Fredericksburg, Maryland? So I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll do it. So I drive up to Fredericksburg. And, dude, I got to tell you, I hate my fucking GPS sometimes. Is it just me or is it other people's GPSs too? It just seems like it was just leading me towards accidents. You know, just the worst traffic ever. On my way up there, it goes, hey, there's an accident. Take this other way. 7 minutes. You'll save 7 minutes. I'm like, all right. Because I typically just stick to the way that I'm going. So I'll take this other back route. It's a two-lane road. That's how a lot of shit is. Around here, and especially in Central Virginia. It's just a shit of two-lane highways and typically like maybe two ways to get places. In other cities, there's 3, 4, 5 other ways to get somewhere, but just the way shit is laid out here and the way they got these backcountry roads, it's not, unfortunately, in a lot of areas. So, I take this back road, and it's like a 10-mile detour. So, I'm like 7 miles into this detour, and I notice the traffic is backed up. And I come around the corner, and I see like a fucking emergency vehicle up there. They got a tow truck, and I sit there for like 5 or 6 minutes, and I notice people are turning around. So I eventually just had to say, fuck it, because I was cutting it close. Had to turn around because I was avoiding an accident and ran into another accident. Went all the way back to my original route. Accident is still fucking there. I go around the accident, and as I'm going around the accident, they get it all cleaned up. So now I have to wait even longer because I went into a plaza to go around the accident. Now all these emergency vehicles are moving, tow trucks are moving on this. So now I'm stuck at that accident now too. So I got stuck at two accidents. I barely made it to the show. Like 7 minutes to spare. But it was fun. I got to yell at the chief of police of Fredericksburg, which is fun. I made some racial jokes, which he just had to take. And I did not stick around for the rest of that show. I got up out of there. And now, to be honest, that was pretty dope. To drive an hour and a half away. Go up first, do my set, bring up the next guy, and then get the fuck out of there. And I was home by like 9:30. Paycheck in hand, it was great. It's like now I see why they like these big time comics are, they're fine with doing one show. Just give me one 7:30, I knock it out, and I got the rest of my night. So that was cool. Friday night, I'm home, I got paid. So, fantastic. Then Saturday rolls around. I got my headlining show at the Southern. I've been waiting months to do it. Fun show. I had my boys on. JR, TJ Ferguson, Winston Hodges, Paige Campbell. Unfortunately, my man Dom had to fall out. He had a work thing. He's out of town, so he couldn't do it. But we had a nice turnout. Fun crowd. They were a little weird, I can't lie. They were just a little apprehensive about things. But it turned out to be a fun show, and I'm doing some crowd work, and I'm talking to this married couple, and this one dude just starts going off about his sex life. He was talking about how, like, I got to have sex with her for 45 minutes. She still hasn't had an orgasm. I got to do it for another 45 minutes. It sucks. She doesn't go down on me anymore. And his wife is right there, and they are just going back and forth, and I'm like, well, he just talked shit about you, ma'am. And everybody's like, it's kind of funny. But we can't tell if he's serious. And then she start talking. And then you go, oh, shit. This is literally a marriage on the rocks. And she was just like, well, he got fat. And he needs to lose weight. I mean, and they're being dead serious. They're kind of drunk. And they're just going back and forth with each other. They tried to open marriage. They tried threesomes, foursomes. They tried all this shit. And I was just like, where'd you guys meet? And they met at a bar 15 years ago. They have like a 15-year-old kid. So we put it all together. It's just like, oh, shit. It just seems like you two had a one-night stand. Yeah, I got married because you thought it was the right thing to do. And here you are 15 years later, and you fucking hate each other because you don't even know each other. You got married because she got pregnant. But, yeah, that was actually was kind of the highlight of the show. I mean, the set was going fine, but that just took it to a whole nother level. And, man, but I had a great time. Thanks to everybody who came out to that show. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, I appreciate everyone who took the time out to be part of that and to my boys for coming out and performing on the show. But, man, that got fucking weird with that couple, man. That was they definitely need to go to couples therapy because that shit got real. Because typically, whenever I do crowd work and people go on these rants, I'll cut it off. But I was like, this dude seems like he needs to get some shit off his chest. And I let him talk. And thank God I did because I pulled some gems out of that. But they were not happy with each other when the show ended. And yeah, it literally would not surprise me. I'm not joking at all. If they were not together today. I mean, it got weird. It got really, really weird, and we made the best of it. So, yeah, that's comedy. Man, because after the show, people were like, you had to have planted those people. And I was like, I've never seen those folks in my life, not once. And, yeah, they gave me some comedy gold, so I appreciate it to that angry couple who obviously do not love each other anymore, or probably never have. I even tried to get them to say, after they talked shit to each other, and it got really, really weird. Oh, this was funny, though. Let me say this. So, most of the crowd were people in their mid-20s and up. So, but there were some younger, early 20 people in their early 20s there. And the look on their faces as this couple is talking about their sex life with each other and just basically trashing each other. I mean, these guys had their faces in their shirts. They were covering their face up, heads under the table. And everybody, like 28 and up, everyone's just kind of like listening like, yeah, this sounds about right. And that's the thing, like these young people have sheltered themselves so much from like real life shit. Granted, it was awkward. I will say that. It was awkward. They couldn't even face it, just hearing about the shit. And it's like, you come from the generation that's all about trans stuff, gay stuff, all the sexual stuff was on the table. And here you have your quote unquote vanilla heterosexual couple talking about that their sex life sucks. My husband is fat. I gotta fuck her for too long. It's boring. We hate each other. And you can't even like sit through that. They were so just like blown away and embarrassed and shocked. They literally had their heads under the table. They were like, I can't believe this. I'm like, no, this is fucking life, man. Life ain't what y'all think it is. It ain't always fucking rainbows and butterflies and all this shit you try to paint it out to be for you young people. Y'all try to hide real shit. This is life. This is real. But man, it was awkward. But I wanted to get the information because I definitely would not want to be those people. I would not want to be in a loveless marriage like that. Dude, when I tried to get them to tell each other that they loved each other towards the end, they couldn't even do it. Insane. But yeah, so that was a fun show. So I get up the next morning, jump on the train, head to New York City. Unfortunately, my buddy that I was staying with, he got hit with some shit for work, so he left, and I had this whole apartment to myself, which was cool, but still kind of boring during the day. So I get to New York. We head over right to the cellar because I'm doing a spot at the Fat Black Pussycat. So I get in New York probably around 1:45 or so. Hit the R train all the way to Brooklyn. Get to his place. I clean up. We chit-chat. We head back into Manhattan. We hit the cellar. We get something to eat. My buddy takes off because he has to head out to PA. I'm over at Fat Black Pussycat. I see Mark Norman. The crowd's coming in. I'm nervous because he just said I was going to open, so I didn't know how much time I was going to do. I didn't know if there were going to be three people on the show, but I opened the show at Fat Black. I did 20 minutes. Actually, I did about 17. They let me. I'm still so nervous in New York. Like when they light me, I'm like, I'll wrap this joke up. I'll do one more, and then I'm done because I don't want to run my time in New York at all. I don't want to do it. I'm scary. It's scary. So I have a good set. We have a great time. That night we headed into, nope. So yeah, we just kind of hang out at the cellar that night. Then Monday rolls around. Again, hanging out at the cellar, hanging out with my buddy Colin and Ray. We walk around the city, hang out at the cellar. We're seeing all these different comics, having a great time. Tuesday, you got two spots. I'm at the Stand. Monday we go to the Stand and hang out there. Great club. It's a brand new club. Upstairs is really nice. It's got a restaurant. They got a room in the back. It's soundproof. It's got a big glass wall. Then you go downstairs to the main room. And a beautiful room. I watch a couple shows. Mark does his thing. So we all hanging out. It's me, Mark Norman, Ray Zawadny, Colin Chamberlain, Jared Fortune, my boy Tori Huggins. We're all hanging out. Big J is there. Louis J. Gomez is there. Dan Soder's there. All these comics are just hanging out, having a good time. And then we hit a diner at the end of the night And my and Ian Lara's there, another good friend of mine. And yeah, we all just hanging out. We hit a diner. We talk about comedy till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it takes almost 2 hours to get home from Manhattan to Brooklyn because it's so late at night. Have a great time. Wednesday, what the fuck did I do Wednesday yesterday? Oh, So that was Monday. So Tuesday I got two spots. I'm back at the Stand doing Star Wars Hockey's show called Fat Tuesday. That was fun. I got bumped by Jeremy Piven, so he went before me. Had to follow him. He left. I shit on him because I worked with him before. He wouldn't let me in the green room while they're having sushi and cigars and watching UFC. But he was being nice, but fuck him. He's full of himself. He doesn't like to talk to anybody. He likes to get recognized. And yeah, it's whatever. But that was a fun show. Finished that set. Finished watching that show. Head over to Fat Black to do Hot Soup, 10:30. Gary Goldman's on the show. Gary Veeder's on the show. Mark Norman's on the show. Matt Ruby's on the show. Go there, have a fun set. Great night. We hang out most of the night. I don't think we hit a diner that night. But we just stick around Fat Black and the Cellar till 2 o'clock in the morning. Yamanika Saunders is there. We have sit down with her. I'm running to my buddy Mark Gregory. We're talking about just comedy. It's just fun, man. I know I'm not doing it justice. I'm trying not to make this podcast too long. But we end up just talking comedy for hours. We stay out till 2 o'clock in the morning again. I don't get home till like 4. I'm waking up at 8. Man, it's just crazy. One morning I got up, I ran around Brooklyn. That was nice. You know, the sun's coming up. There's people working. You just hear conversations. They got those heavy New York accents. I just love it. I finished that up. Hop on the train. I go all the way up to Central Park. I walk around Central Park. I go to the Natural History Museum. I walk around there. Look at all these artifacts from South America and Asia. And I'm so pissed off. I didn't go into the Hayden Planetarium. I was just so worn out from all the like walking around, staying up late, not getting any sleep. Then I got up that morning and ran, and I worked out. I was just beat, man. I was beat. It's such a fun time out there, but man, you really burn the midnight oil out there. I mean, just staying out till 2-3 in the morning every morning, and then just the way my body is, I'm waking up at like 8-9 o'clock, and I just had such a great time. Then Wednesday night, I got a show in Brooklyn. My buddy Courtney Farrington and Wilfred Padal, they put it on. That was fun. Nice little packed room. Mindy Tucker showed up. She's like one of the biggest comedy photographers in New York City. I had no idea she was going to be there. I always wanted a Mindy Tucker. I got some pictures from her. That was probably the highlight of the weekend. I can't lie. I know it's something that simple, but getting to perform at a Comedy Cellar venue is dope. But the Mindy Tucker was unexpected, and that really made my trip. But that was dope. So while I'm at the show in Brooklyn, my buddy texts me and goes, "Hey man, Dan Soder just filmed this special. They're having a party at the Fat Black." And he's like, "You gotta go. Everybody's gonna be there." So I'm like, "Fuck it." So me and my boy Gerard, we head over there after the show, and everybody's there. Soder's there, Big J, Louis J. Gomez, Michelle Wolf, Joe List, Artie Fuqua, Rosebud Baker, Corinne Fisher, Christina Hutchinson, all these comics that I would love to be working with and doing the shit that they do, they're all there. They got pizza, they got wings, they had Capri Suns and Mountain Dew, and I'm guessing that has something to do with Soder's jokes. But man, it was just a party for the ages. All these comics, people are just having fun, laughing. They got photographers around. It's at Fat Black. His music's going. People are just having a good time, laughing, drinking. It was a magical night. We stay there till like 2 in the morning. I get home at 4. Wake up at 9:30, and yeah, I had to be at the train station by 12:30. I was cutting it close, man. And I get it now. Like, I hear, like, New York comics talk about the train and travel and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, how is this exciting? But you know what, dude? There's something about that city where you're always getting fucked over. You're stepping in the puddle. You got homeless people bothering you. You're missing a train. You can't tell if it's hot, if it's cold. It's just always something just fucking you over. But there's something nice about waiting to the last minute and just getting to where you need to be with not a whole lot of time to spare. Because any other time, it's like you got to leave. It seems like anywhere you go, you got to leave 2-3 hours ahead of time just so you get there in time. But I pushed it, and I barely made it with like 15 minutes to go. And I just felt great. It feels like you kind of got one over on the city that's always going to win. I did a podcast with my boys, Jared and Corday. Is it Corday? Yeah, Corday. Way out in East New York, two nerdy black dudes, all about anime and video games and stuff. And I thought I was going to make fun of them the whole time, but we ended up just talking about video games and all the cartoons and shit that I used to watch as a kid. And I had a great time, man. I had a great time. I met some new cool people. Got to hang out with some old friends, and it was a great time. And I love going to that city. I would love to be there to do comedy, but it's funny. Every time I go back, I want to move there less and less each time. Because just watching people just like try to carry a stroller up some stairs at their house, down the stairs of the subway. You got to wheel all your laundry outside, take it down the street to wash it. It's just too much. I'm too old for that shit. But there's a show. That's a show. Sorry this one was long. Hopefully it wasn't too scatterbrained. I never write this shit down. I should have just wrote everything down as it happened. That way I can kind of go in chronological order. But yeah, I had a great time in New York, man. And I can't wait to go back. I feel like each trip I'm making some progress. I'm making some headway. I'm having good sets. I'm meeting people. I'm getting more comfortable on the train. And that's what it's all about. So hopefully in the next year or two, I've made somewhat of a little bit of a mark for myself in that city. I know it's going to take longer, but damn it, I got to do it. So you guys have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. I'll talk to you later. Peace.